Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
On college football today, rolling into week 8. The 12 o'clocks are underway. We're going to talk about the SEC battle between
SEC, Alabama,
Tennessee. Alabama's won 5 straight over the Volunteers by 26.2 points per game. Dominated this matchup last year in Tuscaloosa, 45-7. But this is a hot Tennessee team coming off the win over Auburn.
Hot.
They won one game. I'll say lukewarm.
They're hot. Yeah. They're at home. But now Tua's banged up for this matchup. He will go. I think that affects the game plan for Alabama overall. They have LSU in 2 weeks. They're going to probably utilize Jalen Hurts with this offense. But I expect Alabama to get up, pull back on the reins, and just get out of Knoxville being healthy. That being said, I like Tennessee with the points in this ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, I hate these games. It seems like every Alabama game is, what, 28, 29 points? Do we talk about that every week, whether it's Arkansas or Ole Miss? Same story week after week. Gabe had mentioned that Nick takes it easy on his assistants. Not so much. I mean, 12-0 all-time against former assistants by an average of 27 points is a 29-point spread. It's kind of right around that number. Your scenario makes sense to me. I think if I had to bet this game, I would bet Alabama in the first half because that's where they've been most successful. Over the course of a game, I'm always petrified of the backdoor cover when it comes to Alabama.
Here's the thing, I mean, Sam, from a coaching perspective that I've always wanted to know. In this matchup, nobody's expecting Tennessee to win this matchup.
Correct.
Nobody, right?
Right.
Why not be aggressive, pull out all the stops? Now, I understand it's a new head coach and you're building for the future. I get that. But this can possibly be a statement game. Kick an onside kick. Fake a punt. Go for it. Run 2 minutes in the first quarter. Why don't we see that more and more?
I'll tell you why. Because when you're going against a team that you know is better than you, man for man, forget about the coaching. You know that if you start out and you play do tricks and next thing you know, you're down 21-0 with 8 minutes left in the first quarter. It can get ugly real fast. You lost your teammates. You lost all the time. You want to keep the game as close as possible, even if that means punting the ball early. Just want to give your team a chance to at least to hang around as long as possible.
That's interesting because, you see, I would think that if you're more aggressive, the kids would buy in more. Nobody's expecting them to win. So if you fall behind 21-0, all right, this is what should happen.
But in college, you know it's a talent-based game. And if the other team just has more talent than you, unless everything's going your way and you just can't throw the ball downfield and just hope for the best. You got to go out there and meticulously drive down the field, hold the ball, keep their offense on the sideline, and hopefully you could do that enough where the game is still closer than the game. You have a chance to win.
I think some coaches, too, in college basically coach for the cover and in a sense of let's not get embarrassed, let's not go get blown out.
Right.
Because they can go back to their boosters, they can go back to the supporters, say, listen, we were 32-point underdogs. We lost by 17.
Can you imagine being down?
They almost know I ain't winning the game, right. So let's not get embarrassed. Sort of like a fighter, right? I'm not going to get shot. I'm going to dive and weave, and we'll just get out of here.
Can you imagine being down 35-0 in the first quarter? What do you tell your team? Like the hope is gone. You want to keep hope alive as long as possible. That's what you
talk about the trickle-down effect and the crowd. Oh, we hired the wrong coach.
Exactly. You start hearing the boos.
35-0. You're right. He's coaching. I hear college basketball coaches talk about this. They're the 4-minute installments. Right. They're coaching 4 minutes at a time. We're almost one series at a time, right?
But you think about when you get to the NFL is totally different because now you have grown men and we all have ability. Every team usually has the same amount of talent, no matter how bad they're playing. Yeah. And you could go out there and take those risks. But in college, it could get ugly real fast, and those young guys' minds are fragile.
I've always thought NFL football, it comes down to coaching. Like you said, every team has the same talent. And college, it isn't. Now, you can be a great coach, but what are you going to do?
I got proof.
Alabama's got 32 5-stars. I've got 3 5-stars. What do you want from me?
I got proof. I know they got Tom Brady, but how is the New England Patriots almost in the AFC Championship every year? I mean, everybody have the same opportunity every year.
Yep.
You play well, you drafted the bottom of the round. If you play bad, you get a first round pick or a high first round pick. So it's coaching is plays a major part of it.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued that you like the over here because I think the way this
I'm a little bit worried, Joe, that our boy, the quarterback at Tennessee, can't score.
Scored last week.
I know. And you know what? Five of the last six times these two teams have played, it's gone over the number. Alabama have owned these guys, but they own a lot of people. But ATS, they've owned them. 9-3 the last 12. I know that Saban's not going to take it easy on Pruitt, but at the same point in time, he ain't going to hang a 42 spot on him.
He's going to take it.
He's not going to run it up. If they cover, they cover. The problem with Alabama is now, you're bringing in Jalen Hurts in routes in the second half. But Alabama's become a real sweat job, guys. Every game, it's the back door, and it's swinging. It's like a... You know,
that's why I don't like those games.
Blowing.
I don't like those games.
Yeah. I know. It's a tough spot.
I'm looking forward to discussing Alabama LSU because then you're talking about a more competitive 2 weeks
from now, bye week next week. But
that's a game
Alabama
we'll be competitive
guys
for.
Are perfect in the first half against the spread.
Yeah.
If you're looking about Alabama, that's the way to go. They're a perfect 7-0 laying points. Last week, we laid 18 in the first half.
Probably around that about
they
that
won
number
by
now.
20 against
what is it, about
Missouri.
16, 17 now?
Yeah.
Against
so, yeah, we'll get you the
quick.
I'll
give a quick update. Ole Miss driving on Auburn on the 29. No score yet.
Bolzon loses this game. They might just say, you know what? You're done.
Midseason.
Like the $38 million, they're going to say, here's a briefcase. They get the hell out of the state.
I'll tell you, I'm with you because, let's be honest, 4-4.
They're angry.
Unacceptable at Auburn.
They got Alabama coming up.
Let's call another thing. They are the SEC West champs. I mean, we're not talking about... You know, Alabama's the defending national champs, but this was a team in Auburn that won the SEC last
returning its quarterback, who at the beginning of the season was being discussed as a possible first or second rounder. So it's not like
and
he was starting over behind the center.
Their bitter rivals are running roughshod through everyone and scoring 56 points
exactly.
a game.
And here's,
that counts, too.
And here's the thing. If you're going to get him out at the end of the year, you got to worry about recruiting. You got to worry about
You got to worry about inventory, too, because some of the best players might be scooped up.
If you're going to do it, you almost have to think, we got to do it now.
Yes.
We're ready to go right out of the gate so we don't miss out.
Inventory, not just from a coaching perspective, but players, too.
Mm.
Players jumping ship now with the new rule after playing after week number four. So that's another thing that you have
Alabama
to keep in mind.
Laying 19 in the first half. You see, you got
to
lay it,
see,
baby.
Now, here's the thing, just to break that down game quick. If you're in Tennessee and you somehow, some way score first, field goal, 7 points, you have to say we're shortening every possession. We're running on every down to shorten that game.
Yeah.
So that's
and to limit your turnover opportunities, too, right?
Right. So that's why we'll see how that game plays out. We'll turn our attention to the Big Ten game. Ohio State and Purdue later tonight. Purdue, this is going to be an electric atmosphere. Ohio State coming off a very...
I don't get this one, guys, in a sense that a lot of people are buying into Purdue. I think the number's a little short here. I feel OSU goes in there and kills them.
I agree.
I think Purdue.
I got Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Purdue is...
I like Purdue.
I think Ohio State, I think Purdue has a punch of chance because they score 33.8 points a game. But Ohio State has the better coach, the better talent, and it's going to show up. It's going to show up on today because they need this victory to stay ahead of other teams that's chasing them from behind.
Yeah, I think Blau can get hot. I mean, the one thing, too, turnovers are going to be critical. I think if Purdue can run the football defensively, Rich, they're giving up 146 yards per game on the ground without Nick Bosa as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If they jump up early, it could be a long day.
I'll tell you exactly how. I know exactly how this game's going to play out.
You know,
I do. I'll give you the blueprint right now. Okay? Halftime in West Lafayette, Ross-Ade Stadium, they're still pumped up. Because Purdue is going to trade punches with Ohio State into the third quarter. Blau, Rondale Moore, DJ Knox, you mentioned. Ohio State with some defensive problems. 97th in the country in terms of giving up plays of 20-plus yards. So the defense in the back seven has been soft. Bosa's been gone for a while, but it's more of a problem with linebackers and secondary. Ohio State, though, sensing this is a game, I think they're going to put their foot on the gas in the late third quarter, fourth quarter, maybe a defensive score. This is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a – it's going to be close for a while, 52-34 Ohio State.
I could see
they pull away.
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, 28 touchdown passes by Dwayne Haskins. I mean, here's the thing, too. I picked Minnesota last week against them. I was on Indiana against Ohio State as well. I got – great value, both of those. Now they go down, laying less than 15. I still lean to Purdue, but not one of my best selections for the day.
I'm sorry, guys, but Rutgers actually fielded the opening kickoff.
That's usually a bad sign.
At the one.
Yes.
The kid didn't let it bounce. See, he fumbled it.
Gotta get, Can we bet that money yet?
It's
that,
a comedy. That
billion dollars. Can we, yeah.
Can we put you that billion
it,
dollars
you
on
said it, Sam. She said, I don't care what the spread is. She's like,
every year.
So they started, Rutgers started the game first down on their own one. Like, that's what a bad team does, right?
Man, I don't like talking about coaches, but usually that's bad coaching and bad players
Ash,
at the same time.
We talked about it. How long does Ash get to stay here?
Gabe, I think it's gotten so bad and so embarrassing. You brought up an excellent point about being competitive. Sometimes that makes a difference in terms of how much of a leash
like
a coach has.
Basketball is competitive.
You're no longer competitive. They threw for 8 yards, 2 for 17 passing last week against Maryland. This is no longer playing like a Big Ten football team.
How do you keep the in-state talent playing like you're playing
they
right now?
They haven't, though. Right. That's been part of the
you
problem.
You know it. About it, guys. As a kid from the Bronx.
I am going to Florida, California, Ohio, anywhere else. But
they can't
you would love to go to
Big
Rutgers.
Ten, guys, they're not a Big Ten caliber
that's the
program.
Truth, yeah. Yep.
They should be, we talked about
they
it,
did
the
it for
American
the money.
Athletic, the Conference USA, hell, the MAC. They should be playing against the Buffaloes of the world,
they
Sam.
They did it for the money.
Sam, they did it for the money. And sometimes I think in life when you do something solely for the money, it backfires.
No question.
And now it's backfiring not just for the kids in basketball and football.
What about
but how
the
about
Big
the fan
Ten?
Base? Yeah. How about the fan base?
Yes.
The fan base has to deal with this BS week in and week out where your team can't even compete.
You
there's
can't...
no amount of money in terms of intercollegiate
right.
athletics
playing SMU,
that's worth
they
it.
Go to the game.
Yes.
We got a shot. Let's go.
And you know what? You get.
And what about the Big Ten, though? Is this an embarrassment for you?
Yeah, it's a great.
You know, we brought this program in, so we can get on the TV market in New York. So what?
Yep.
So what? For what? Does anyone in New York care about the Big Ten anymore
guys,
now than they did
before? Guys, there's a limit to what we should do for money,
that's
and I think these kids are basically being put out there like sacrificial lambs.
Right.
We have a bigger paycheck from the Big Ten, but we're getting our asses kicked week
on
in and week out.
Basis.
That's not acceptable as far
the
as
the next question is, what type of head coach do you attract?
Very
something
difficult.
Change.
We've talked about
but they're not going to be able to change this on a football field. Their basketball team, at least, is a little bit competitive. They'll battle with you.
It's a 5-year operation to change that team.
I don't know what kind of a coach
you add a zero on that, bro.
50.
They're down 7-0. And we'll see how that game plays out. I mean,
you know who you get, Sam? We talked about it last week. You go get Greg Schiano back and see if
well,
he
that's the best chance you got.
He will go.
Like, yeah, I agree.
We'll see.
He's Ohio State right now.
We'll see how that game plays out. 7-0 Northwestern leads early in the first quarter of that matchup. Turn our attention to a great battle in Salt Lake City. Rice-Eccles Stadium will be rocking. It'll probably be a blackout. USC's won the 3 of the last 5 over Utah. Last win in Utah did come in 2012. But I'll tell you this. We spoke about it before. Upset City, baby. USC rolls. Close win, 34-30 over Utah.
Wouldn't surprise me. I like Utah, but this is not a game that I'm in love with. It's more of a stay-away game for me. Sac Lake City, very difficult place to play. I'm going to make this an anti-Clay Helton bet, okay? Clay, as an underdog, last 11 games, Gabe, 1-10 against the spread. Has not been a good. He is no Matt Campbell, my friend.
Another
he is
thing,
no
the
Tom
USC
Herman.
Trojans aren't supposed to be 11-time underdogs.
Yes. Mm.
How many times have Alabama been an underdog? 11 times. Like, in how many years would it take for you to say, all right, last 11 times, Bam, we're underdogs?
Oh, but it might be,
years,
it might be
Sam,
over a decade.
Over a decade.
You're
yeah,
the USC
yeah.
Trojans. Clay Helton's been a coach there for 2 years. He's been an underdog
times.
11 times. That's amazing. All you need to know about the job he's doing.
Here's why I like USC. 48% completion conversions on third downs and holding opposing offenses to 32%. On third downs. And I like the way Daniels played last week. I mean, they passed for 283 through the air. You
this
were
kid's
on the
got
Trojans.
Some moxie. I like
and I
them.
Know they are at home. I got that. They won 19 straight at home. But I'm still not sold on Huntley being this elite passer.
He's not.
And they don't have the speed on the outside of Covey to challenge that USC defense vertically. So that's why I like the Trojans in this matchup.
And that scares me about USC is I think they lost their best pass rusher
that's
this
a great
year,
point. Yeah.
This week.
Porter and Gustin, yeah.
That definitely will affect the coverage
Porter
on the
Gustin
back end.
Porter Gustin is a big loss
he's a gamer.
For that,
like
for
a
that
Clay
defense.
Matthews type of
yeah.
player.
Yep.
You know,
off
in terms
the edge.
Of that.
And then Utah being at home, and I think the offensive line is dominating this year. And Zach Moss, I think he's going to run all
like
over
Zach
this
Moss.
Team.
Yep.
I do, too.
We saw Joe Williams come in. He's playing in the league. I mean,
this is a classic matchup in the sense – you got a better coach in Whittingham.
Right.
You got home field.
Yep.
Yet you got better talent on the other team.
Except for the trenches. offensive
so
line.
In the trenches, I think Utah can win the battle in the trenches.
Think, in my opinion, I would agree. So.
Yeah, we'll see. Blue collar teams. I mean, that's what Utah was built on for years.
Yeah.
Until a couple of years ago, when
Joe,
they
to your point about
play
Huntley,
close games, these two
USC right. in the last three games has not given up more than 100 yards yes. on the ground. Mm. So Zach Moss is always the key in Salt Lake City. Yes. So if they're able to slow down Zach, a lot is going to hinge on the play of Tyrone.
And not only that, to last week's game. Last year's game, Williams, the quarterback, put a lot of pressure on USC's defense. They went for two, didn't get it.
You know, when you lose your best pass rusher, your backup comes in the game, and he's trying to replace that production. Right. And what happens is he's up the field instead of playing a run. So you got to look out for that.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. I think if USC could jump up early, that's the key to that matchup.
When's the last time USC were 7-point underdogs against maybe someone not like –
Non-conference, like not a big non-conference game, like
they
Alabama.
Ohio State,
Alabama, a couple
Ohio
years
State
ago.
In the bowl game yeah. last year. Right. I think it was seven.
Yeah.
That's well, Ohio State. I'm looking right now at the last 10 matchups. They've never gotten 7 points against Utah.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't normal. It's almost like casually saying,
there
oh,
might
USC
be concerned about a young quarterback. We're all high on JT Daniels, a true freshman.
I think he's gone through the growing pains. He got thrown in the fire early.
Tough
schedule.
Tough spot at Rice-Eccles, right? Rice-Eccles
is
kind
of it's
tough spot.
Special.
Hey, one thing about these smaller schools, USC might be down right now, but when you're a player, you don't care. You just want to beat USC and have that on your resume. That's USC, you know?
No doubt. Yeah, USC is always the king of the Pac-12.
Now, if Utah can pick up this victory, then obviously they'd be a
front runner. Again, great game for the Pac-12 South. Pac-12 South is wide open at this point. Yeah. So, you know, almost everyone's still in the mix outside
Utah was
of
a sneaky pick.
How does it play out?
Yeah.
I know we're going to break in a minute, but you just talked about it. I think it's time to start kicking the tires on us a little bit. We're talking about the Pac-12, the ACC. It's strange this year because Notre Dame technically an independent.
Right.
How does it play? We haven't had an independent in the playoff yet.
No.
I know they have an ACC affiliation, but they're an independent.
Yeah.
We haven't had that. Like, is the Pac-12 automatically out? And I tell you, if Clemson stumble, they're done. Like Clemson are skating on thin
ACC's
ice right now.
ACC's way down this year.
Way down. And Notre Dame has ACC ties. They pay
so what
six
we,
games.
What would we look at potentially? All right, we'll hit on the other
side.
We'll
talk about it on the back end. Keep it where it is.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Rolling into week 8 of the college football season right here on College Football Today. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Sam Garns. Gabe's locked and loaded. I don't even know. His headphones broke. I'm not
playing
sure
some Big Ten. We're playing some Big Ten broadcasting over here, guys. Some hard-hitting action going on already here.
Wow. Did you put a helmet on and you broke that? I'm not even sure exactly what happened in the
all
break.
All fired up. Sam's here. He's got me going on.
We're all fired up talking college football. We'll break down this game in Columbia, Missouri a little bit later. It's Memphis and Brady White on the road to face Drew Locke. This is an intriguing battle because you look at the emotional loss, Rich, against Central Florida last week. They lose by 1 point. Now go on the road to a team that got really beat up by Alabama. I still like the points here with the Memphis Tigers. And more importantly, I love Darrell Henderson at running back position. 199 yards last week. I think Memphis could be a live dog.
You know what I call Darrell Henderson? He is the – why are you laughing? Are you always anticipating? Darrell Henderson is the human first down at 10.3 yards a carry. He is the human first down. Love the offensive. Why are you still laughing?
Because I pictured the first down marker with Darrell Henderson just running.
Okay.
You know?
All right. I like the points too, Joe. I just think that Missouri, after getting away from SEC schedule for a little bit, here comes Missouri, little team from the American, not that pumped up. You know, Drew Locke will put up his usual 4 or 5 touchdowns like he always does against weaker opponents. But Memphis can hang with them offensively.
I think they can.
Mike Norvell is auditioning for a bigger job. You got Brady White, you mentioned. You got Darrell Henderson. I think they'll score. I think they'll lose by a touchdown, maybe 41-34.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, the way I'm impressed with Memphis on the offensive side of the ball, their secondary, Sam, has only given up 182 passing yards to opposing offenses. They kept Mackenzie Milton and UCF in check from a passing perspective. I think they could do that against Drew Locke later today.
Yeah, this is a strength-on-strength game. You know, Missouri's good versus the run, and that's what Memphis does, and they're bad versus the pass. But I think Memphis is – one thing about Memphis is they're a dink-and-dunk team, and I don't think they're going to be able to take advantage of Missouri and the secondary because Missouri gets beat down a fill, and Memphis is a dink-and-dunk team. It's kind of like an extended running game.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Gabe, this is – Drew Locke, your guy. You said he was going to be top ranked.
One of the top ranked.
Yeah. I know.
I should
a lot
say,
of people,
is he a first round pick? And I'm going to be honest.
I don't think.
When I watch him, I'm not overly in love with him either.
I mean, he's to
like,
me.
Who do you think is the best guy? Like Herbert looks to me,
yes,
guys.
Really good.
I'll say this.
Herbert's
big,
mobile, strong arm.
Yep.
Accurate. Seems like a leader. Tough kid.
I would still
not
take
overly cocky. I'm checking off a lot of the check marks with Herbert here.
Yeah, and Herbert could be a system guy. We have to see. I think he can make every throw.
I don't think he is a system guy. I think he's an athlete.
Yeah, he is. But if we're going to talk
about. Look, I thought Mahomes was a system guy.
Right. Everybody. I think that's going to help a lot of quarterbacks this year.
That's
people
a good
break
point
that mold.
About
yes.
Mahomes, right?
That's
Mahomes
an
is
an excellent point.
Did you think he was a system
guy?
No,
come from Texas Tech. You know, a lot of quarterbacks come from Texas Tech and they go to the NFL and don't do anything. And I think this is going to open it up the doors for a lot of quarterbacks that's been in systems that had that history.
I'm with both sides on this game, guys, in the sense that it's 10 points. I think Memphis can trade with them. It's homecoming for Mizzou. They got Kentucky next week. They might think, like Rich said, it's Memphis. The Memphis Tigers, we're an SEC team. And they get punched in the mouth. And another part of me, Sam, is where it's reality. We got SEC talent playing on a home field against an American Athletic pop gun, little dink and dunk offense. Like you said, maybe you can stretch the field against the Tulsas of the world.
Right.
But are you going to be able to stretch the field against Mizzou? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what happens. When you know you got teams that come from Conference USA, and I've been a part of that, where there might be one or two guys on that team that really think they can win the game, but there's a lot of guys that don't think they belong, and that affects the game and outcome.
Good point. Right. So there's a couple of kids that know they're in over their head.
Exactly.
Quick updates. Temple up 10-0 on Cincinnati.
Yes,
Wisconsin,
sir.
Wisconsin up 14-0 on Illinois. And Oklahoma and TCU tied at 7, along with Auburn up on Ole Miss.
Still nothing going on in Michigan, Michigan State. Smash mouth game, as we expected. These kids are killing each other in the trenches, guys. Like, yeah. They're really hitting each other.
What'd you say? One play decides it.
It really will
be. I think you might
be right. A fumble here, a muff punt there. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Here's another game that I'm very high on. It's another one of my best bets. Penn State and Indiana. Penn State disappointing loss last week at home to Michigan State. 21.
Who do you have as the best bet?
I love Indiana in this matchup. Wow. I love Indiana. They're catching 14.5, 15 in that ballgame. Here's
with
the
you.
Thing.
I'm with you.
I mean, Penn State, emotional loss. You know, last week, again, what are they playing for? Yeah, they can get back into it. They play Iowa. They play Michigan. But Indiana needs this game to step in the right direction to become bowl eligible. They're averaging 249 passing yards per game. I like Ramsey. More blue collar. They played well against Ohio State for a half. And again, I'm not sold as a total offense or Penn State. It revolves, in my opinion, solely around Trace McSorley.
Joe, I wanted to ask this to Jamie. We ran out of time in our segment, but I wanted to ask him, to what extent does he evaluate or try to play Freud or B.F. Skinner, right, one of my favorite all-time psychologists, and really evaluate
Mine's
the mindset
Fraser
of...
Crane.
Fraser Crane. Yeah, Fraser Crane.
I do it all the time, actually.
Well, and
I
think it's legitimate.
Like 10 times a week. Capping football games. And I don't know if it's right to try to get in a mindset of kids I've never met before.
You never know, but yeah. I think it's fair to do it. I think this is one of those examples, too. It matters more to Indiana. Right. Indiana is still building towards the postseason. Right. Penn State knows they're going to be in a bowl game, but not the bowl game that they wanted to. They won't be in a Big Ten title game.
Penn State have owned them, though, Rich. 20-1, I'm seeing.
It's more than two touchdowns. I'll see that number, and I'll raise it and say, this will make Joe feel good. James Franklin, the week after a loss, 2-13 against the spread.
Wow.
He does not rally the troops. 2-13 right. against the yeah. spread after a loss. So I agree with Joe.
Well, I've always found, Rich, it's a great point. I didn't realize that. It's a great stat. I'm going right. to remember. And Sam can attest to this. I've always felt when you hear they're in a bounce back spot, that's better for pros. That's better for grown men. When you're a college kid, a bounce back, it's like being an emotional teenager. You broke up with your girlfriend. You're depressed.
Right.
You don't just like, it's emotional. That's college sports, the emotion of it. Will you agree to that?
Well, I'll agree.
You bounce back, you're a pro. It's like, dog, that was last week. Let's go. You're a kid. It's almost contagious, isn't it?
This is the difference between being NFL and college. And when you're NFL, you get to go home. I can go into my garage and leave my garage, go right to my facility and don't see anyone. When you're in college, you're around a bunch of college people that, you know,
class,
students.
You're on
you
campus.
Got, you got teachers, you got students that you have to hear about it. And they kind of hoping you do better, keeping it going through your mind. But now the NFL, we can control the players from coaches because they just deal with us.
In NFL, you got money. So,
you got money, but also the coaches can control the situation a little bit more because we're just dealing with each other directly. But now you got other influences once you're in college.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State's won 4 of the last 5 by 18 points per game. They won last time in Bloomington by 14 points, although Indiana was in a position to cover that game. They fumbled with about a minute left, and Penn State wound up winning by 14. But I'm with Rich in the sense of, yeah, Indiana's played a tough schedule. I mean, they played Iowa last week. They played Ohio State.
Beat a pretty good Virginia team, which we talked about.
Beat a good Virginia team. I mean, and they're still 4-3 overall. Again, they're going to need this game. Now, they don't have to win. They could lose by 4. They could lose by 7. They could lose by 8.
Exactly.
But getting 14 points or more at home.
I think it's 14 and a half.
But that's what I'm saying. 14 and a half.
You
at
sold
home.
Me, you know Joe. I'm in.
Uh-oh.
Let's go Hoosiers.
That stands out to me is Miles Sanders versus Indiana's poorest run defense.
Good point.
That stands out to me big time, and I think that's going to play a heavy factor this week because, you know, after a loss, especially a team like Penn State that think they're the bully, how do you bully in football?
You run the ball. Football.
Exactly. Right. That's what I believe.
See, now here's the thing to Rich's point about Penn State. They're 10-5 on the road straight up under James Franklin. We know their record at home was stellar up until this year when they lost to Ohio State, lost to Michigan State. Over the last 2 years, they did not lose a home game since 2015. So,
they've been vulnerable on the road.
Right. Now that was their MO. They started slow against Illinois and pulled away in the fourth quarter.
Well, that game, don't bring that one up. That one upset
me. We didn't even do a show on that. That was a Friday. That was the day before.
Dude, it went from 24-23 to 68-23 in like 6 minutes, whatever the hell it was.
The Ohio State-Illinois game?
Yeah, that was.
The Penn State-Illinois.
It
was a Friday night game.
I remember it.
Yeah, it was really close. You know what? You have sold me on this. I think Penn State, sort of like Michigan, going to be in a battle to win this game, let alone cover.
Yeah, where are
Franklin's
they going?
Franklin's going to have to get his kids going and care enough.
I was thinking, I think Penn State going to pull all the stops for this game. Because you cannot lose to Indiana right now. You can't. They're 4-2.
Penn State show up and flex their muscle.
I think the coaching staff is going to put together an offensive game plan that's going to be as if they're trying to win.
Interesting. It's an interesting take.
Because you can't lose it. Can't lose it.
I say Penn State win the game, Hoosiers cover.
Yeah, I think.
I agree with that.
Wouldn't shock me. I think they're going to be in it, you know, start fast, put the pressure on McSorley, see how that game plays out. Last game on the docket here, Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Kentucky got this win last year, 44-21. I still think now, I mean, they're at home, they're laying 11.5. I'm just not sold. Where's Vanderbilt and Kyle Shurmur? One-dimensional offense, can't run the football consistently. Better rush defense as well with the Wildcats, only giving up 120 rushing yards per game. I think they win this ball game 17 or more.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. I like Kentucky a lot coming off the break. I think now is their time to start to regroup from the Texas A&M loss. Start to rally for what they believe will be SEC East contention. Joe mentioned Vanderbilt. Where's their head? That was a game they were outplaying Florida,
yeah.
And then they just collapsed down the stretch. Now, we talk about one-dimensional on offense. Defensively, Vanderbilt isn't stopping the run. Four opponents have gone for more than 200 yards this year. Now enter Benny Snell, Terry Wilson behind center. I think Kentucky just jams it down the throat of Vanderbilt. Yeah. And the Kentucky defense has been spectacular this year, led by Josh Allen on the outside. So I think a complete effort from Kentucky. I think with the 2 weeks away, we kind of forgot about Kentucky. They lost their last outing against A&M. Now it's going to be a reminder that, hey, this is a team that could win 10 games this year.
And they lost that game in overtime. I mean,
They could have won it. Sure.
Yeah, they should have won it. And here's the thing, when you look at the difference between Kentucky, you said it. 2 years ago, 225 rushing yards allowed. Last year, 175. Now 120. There's progression on the defensive side of the ball. And when you cannot run the football, I mean, as a football team, you should be able to assert your will. What does that do to the psychological effect?
Well, I've been a part of it. I was with the New York Giants, and we lost to Baltimore Ravens, and they just came out and they forced their will on us. And we couldn't run the ball. we were on a team that could just line up and just throw the ball on you, it changes your whole outlook. The defense sees that, and we don't expect to win. It's just the truth. You just don't expect to win when you see someone bottle the offense, something like that.
And it really changes the play calling for the other team. You know, and I see that we see this with Michigan often. The Carolina Panthers play this way, where it's like, we don't really have to get crazy on offense. This other team can't score.
Exactly.
Right? And it sort of just changes the mindset and takes the air out of the game.
One thing that stands out is Vanderbilt is giving up 40 points a game in SEC games. That's I don't see how.
And I'm glad you brought up SEC.
I've been the president of the Kentucky fan club on this show, guys.
Yes.
You know, from the Florida game, from the Mississippi State game.
Vanderbilt, game. Well, what about this game?
This game, I don't, you know, whenever I'm betting, thanks, Joe.
Bring it all home.
Joe's like, screw the pass, Marek. See what he's got now. You know, we're talking about a team that we took as 14-point underdogs against Florida. We got 9.5, 10 points against Mississippi State. We only laid 1 point against South Carolina. As a betting man,
that's a lot of points
you don't like
up.
The role when you're making money on a team. It's almost like you were going out to dinner with a girl, Joe. She was paying for dinner all the time. It was great. Now suddenly you got to pay. Now it's on you. I'm like, yeah, this isn't such a great deal anymore.
I'm staying out of that one.
You know Joe makes the pay, right, Sam? Yeah.
Right?
Okay. No, I'm just kidding, Joe. No, I figured I'd put in a term, an analogy you can understand. But, you know, it's just, it's not the role that I like laying double digits with a team I've been taking as a dog all year.
Right.
But you guys just spelled it out. I think Vandy in the trenches, and we talked about it all year, the strength of Kentucky is their manhood in the trenches. These guys don't play around, man. They're smash mouth dudes in the trenches.
When you can't stop, when you can't run the ball and you see the other team can run the ball, that's a psychological effect.
And much to your point, this is what happened for Vanderbilt last year. I mean, in terms of run support, they gave up well over 400 rushing yards to Alabama. Then that followed it up the following week. They had a run last year where they had about six games in a row where they gave up close to 1,100 yards.
Well, and Kentucky's becoming that type of a team. I'm not suggesting they're Alabama,
but
obviously.
Their MO is to run the football and assert their will.
Exactly.
And when you can dictate and assert yourself on the offensive line, it breaks down the mentality of it because you can't get three and outs.
Right.
You're continuing to maintain drives, right?
That's so frustrating. You know, defensively, if you can't go to the field, you're tired, and then you can't take the normal risk that you normally take because you're more concerned about your energy back up.
Right. So it's demoralized. It's demoralized.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let the chaos begin. Michigan and Michigan State.
Weather.
Lightning delay. Weather.
Yep. And by the way, have you seen the snowfall in Madison, Wisconsin? It's almost blinding snowfall.
What do we say, too, about
Wisconsin,
Michigan
Illinois.
State? It's always dreary. It's always rainy.
And it keeps
the
it close.
Game started and it looked sunny. I was like, wow, it's sunny.
Well, this works well for me.
Boom, 10 minutes later, Sam, the sun's gone.
Keeps
it's Michigan State. And God's
I should
like,
be able
no,
to catch the end of the game now if it ends like around 4 o'clock Eastern.
What,
I should
Michigan?
Be able to. Yeah, with a delay.
I'm going to be locked and loaded in Versa for the next 7 hours.
It's unbelievable. It's like for the bettors, too, that don't have $1 million. Their money's tied up suddenly. Yeah, it goes into the next game.
And this Lightning, they're going to make sure that there's not another, like, strike for, like,
did
an
you
hour
play, Sam, through Lightning before? Like, it seems we're in a more litigious, like, growing up.
Right.
I've been watching football since 1977.
Right.
I remember once Ohio State and John Cooper quit with 4 minutes left in Lightning. He got fired, like, the next week after because they were so mad. What a quitter. Like, well, you guys used to play through Lightning.
I don't know who you're supposed to, though. I played in the Bronx. I played in the Bronx, so, you know, we probably did some things that you're not supposed to. But I know
what did you play through in the Bronx that they didn't play through, the worst say, Lightning. Say in
well,
the
Bronx? I'm not going to say what field, but there was some field. That everybody knows that play in the Bronx, that this particular field had glass and rocks more than they had grass. And that is 100% true.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
We actually got jumped in one game. That's a whole other story.
From you got jumped one game?
The fans came out the stands, but same thing.
Boy, that toughens you up faster than any opponent, doesn't it?
Oh, it teaches you how to run real fast.
Back in North Bergen years ago, we used to play on that field, and it was the same thing, glass and everything
glass
else.
And
it's,
rocks.
It's beautiful now. I mean, the field over there.
I grew up, same thing. I was playing baseball, same thing. Rocks in the field, cutting knees, crazy, diving out there, but it's amazing. Now the kids got all nice field turf and all these tracks, right?
But kids don't go to schools anymore, even high school, unless there's field turf. You have 100 different units.
Like college now. What do you have to offer? What do you have to offer?
The coolest thing ever. It's kind of regional, but it's so cool. You know, the famous Lincoln Tunnel, right?
Right.
Weehawken High School, their football stadium, the field's on top of the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
And you got all sort of Nike billboards. You got the skyline in New York. I'm just thinking, like, how badass is that if you're a high school kid? You're playing on top of the Lincoln Tunnel with, like, Manhattan on the other side. You can see it. And the stadium is, like, on the side of this. I don't know if you've seen it. It's, like, the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Very unique. Real cool.
Their opponent is looking at the views instead of, you know, what's going on in the field.
That's exactly what I mean.
In terms of, I mean, I always wonder this for coaches, because Sam coached in the NFL, defensive backs. How much weight do you put into looking at what the kids did in the game perspective as opposed to a combine atmosphere?
You mean as far as the college players? Me, personally, I care about how you play more than – because, you know, everybody says that, but then we get close to the combine, see guys running around tights looking good. That alters some people's mind.
Yeah, that's intriguing. When we come back, we'll give our best bets for today. Keep it where it is.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on College Football Today, best picks segment in week number 8. Going to jump right into it, wasting no time. 3 of my picks are already underway. Michigan over Michigan State. If you can get an in-game bet, I think Michigan wins this ball game by 14 points or more. TCU plus the 7.5, 8. They're down 14-7 against Oklahoma. Virginia, I think they're a live dog. No hangover over Duke in that matchup. I like USC plus the 7 points. I think they outscore Utah, high scoring 34-30 win in Salt Lake City. I like Indiana. Keep this game close over Penn State later today. Wyoming, they disappointed me last week on the road in Fresno, playing a blue-collar team in Utah State. Give me the 15 points. This is the last time for Vanderwall and the crew. I think they bounce back. And I like Kansas plus the 18 points, leads FBS in turnover margin. Texas Tech does have Iowa State on deck.
Yeah, Joe, it'll be curious to see if Kansas can catch Texas Tech looking ahead a little bit. Texas Tech with the big win over TCU, can they put together 2 in a row? 3 of my games have already kicked off. I'll just reel them off real quick. I like Army laying 7.5 versus Miami. Miami with no experience versus the triple option. I'm going to stay on the Iowa train. I like their offense and their defense. Boo. Nate Stanley playing well. That was booze from Captain Terrapin over there in the corner, who is on Maryland today.
He's wearing a shell.
he's donning a shell today. And Oklahoma I like over TCU, so I'm going up against Joe. The other 4 games I have for the rest of the day, I'm going to keep it service academies. I think Veterans Day is coming up in November, so I'm going Army and Navy. I like Navy getting 12 from Houston. Houston with back-to-back East Coast trips, East Carolina last week. Now back to the state of Maryland, Gabe's state of Maryland. Today, I like them getting 12. I think Houston will be looking ahead to South Florida. Big matchup with the Bulls next week in Houston. I like Kentucky. I think we're going to see the Kentucky that dominated in September. Vanderbilt, a little bit spent, can't stop the run. Benny Snell, maybe .175 and 3 touchdowns is what I'm going to predict for Kentucky laying 11.5. The time has come for Nebraska. Enough already with the Nebraska losses. 0-6. I don't care about the history. 0-6 teams never lay points to teams that are over 500. I don't care. Listen, Minnesota is sinking fast. The defense that we saw in September, no Rodney Smith on offense. You got the rookie quarterback. Nebraska does not want its first win of the season next week against Bethune-Cookman. They want it against because it's an SES team.
It'll be perfect.
No.
It's like a win and up to the same time.
So exactly. Somehow, some way, they won't pick up this win over Minnesota. What happened to Nebraska? I'm saying because this is a major rebuild now, according to.
What happens long term or next week?
I mean, no long term. I think he's definitely the right guy. Yeah. But the fans will be out of this.
Listen, you have to be patient. If you think you've got the right coach, and Nebraska's got the right coach, right. Scott Frost, UCLA, I believe, has the right coach in Chip Kelly, you look beyond year one, you consider rebuilding. start to evaluate year two. Listen, Nebraska 2-10 this season. Next year, get the bowl game. Year three, you win the 10 West. That's my schedule for sophomores. But I think they get the today, yeah. despite the fact
four,
that they're
four,
three or whatever
three,
case
three,
may be. I love LSU. I don't care that the number's dropping. I know a lot of money's going towards Mississippi State down to 5.5. I took it at whatever, 6.5. I got LSU laying 6.5. Love the Tigers. This is a team that's focused. There's no look-aheads. There's no downtime. They're focused on the task at hand, and that's to beat one-dimensional Mississippi State. I think they get it done. And I'm going to go with the spot. I'm going to go with Washington State. They have owned Oregon lately. This is a moment in the Palouse. I think Washington State catches Oregon and wins that game outright.
He was on fire last week. They called him Richie Sizzle. Now we got two screens for Gabe's. Do we have two?
Yeah, but normally we need. I know we couldn't get all the picks.
We need
last
a scroll.
No, he keeps scrolling. Yeah, that's my new name, Scroll.
Scrolls. What do you got?
Sizzle
what do you
scrolls.
Got for us?
Sizzle and scroll.
Go run Michigan State Spartans plus 7.5, and I'm a Wolverine fan, so you know I must
You're
really
winning
like
right
it.
Now.
Hey, listen, they're in a lightning delay, so you guys can still get in on that play. Maryland Terrapins are down 3-0 right now, early in the second quarter, so we got a low-scoring smash-mouth game, as I expect. We're hanging around. Games haven't kicked off yet. I'm going to jump in on. Give me Alabama and Tennessee over the 57 points. As we mentioned, Alabama averaging 56.8 points a game on their own. I was one of the few people that said I thought that UCLA was going to be able to hang with Cal and cover the number. Now, suddenly, we're getting 10 points. You know who the quarterback is, actually, today for Arizona? It's Rich Rodriguez's kid.
Yep.
Rich Rod's kid comes in. He actually looked okay in spot duty when he got an opportunity to throw the football a little bit. I'm going to take Arizona plus the 10 points here. NC State, and we're now up to 18. They just hang with Clemson. They just do. They have the last couple of years. I don't see why they don't here. Doran's done a great job as an underdog on the road, and I don't think Clemson are going to smoke them like the odds makers think. LSU gets it done. We're down to 5.5 in this game, guys. We always hear about how hard it is to play at Death Valley, especially at nighttime. Well, it's hard to play at Death Valley at nighttime, especially when LSU is good. And LSU are good right now. They're going to take care of business to get the bye week and then to get Alabama. For the record, opening number in that game right now, Alabama are 13-point road favorites. Oklahoma minus the 7. Oklahoma TCU over 61 already going on, as is Temple and Northwestern right now. But a couple of late picks here. I'm going to lay the points with OSU. I think they mess Purdue up. I think Purdue... I don't see it. I think Ohio State win this game convincingly. I'm going to ride the wave, guys. North Texas are 7-0 to the under. Why am I going to get in front of that? I always say if you go to Vegas and you're playing roulette and it comes up red 8 times in a row, don't bet on black. So let's go with the under once again there. We got the USC Trojans plus the points, and I guess that's it because we can't bet 50 million games.
Red came out 1,466 times. You just never turned black.
Exactly.
It was red. I was due.
It was
due. You
ever
see that, though, in roulette? You ever see that when you go to the table and there's people walking by and they're like, it's got to be black. It's got to be. And it's like the guy puts down, 100, 200, 500, doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden, somehow it bounces into
it's
the
a red, yeah.
It bounces and then goes to the other one. They lose.
Happens
and,
all the time. Game we didn't talk
happened
about,
to me.
Guys, actually. Nevada and Hawaii.
I like Hawaii.
I was thinking it's almost a spot to go against Hawaii.
Oh.
We've been, Hawaii been good. They've been getting it done. They've only one loss right now. We've been riding the Rainbow Warrior wave, Sam.
Where's it at?
It's in Hawaii. Mm. But this Nevada Wolfpack team,
it's a tough trip.
It is, but they're from Nevada. It's not like, oh, we're going to Hawaii. It's a conference team that's been there. I like when non-conference teams go in there because they're not used to it. It's more vacation.
Right.
You're a conference team. You go there every 2 years.
Still, an eight-hour flight is an eight-hour flight.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
tough, man. That's tough. It does have an effect on your body,
right.
No matter what. It does. So,
out of all the games that we discussed, does one stand out for you more than the rest, just from the football aspect in terms of what you've seen play out and in terms of – just, breaking down players for this one?
To me, specifically, Northwestern, North Carolina State. I think they're going to pull this upset.
Wow.
You think they can win outright, win the game?
I think they're going to win outright. I think they have.
Huge win for them if they pull that off.
They're playing at home. I think, I think they have the better quarterback. I know everybody talked about the other guy, but I think they have the better quarterback. And when you get in tough games, you need a guy that can put the ball in the right position on third down because that win ball games. There's two statistics that mean a lot. Of course, it's the points. That's the number one statistic of all. And second is turnovers. And if you got a quarterback that put the ball in the right position, less balls are being tipped up in the air and so on and so forth.
Plus 614 right now, money line.
Who?
North Carolina State. So if you put $100 down on North Carolina State, you get $714 back.
Not a bad bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel good about that one.
Well, I mean, and to just follow up on Sam's point, I mean, Ryan Finley last year, 338 yards, three touchdowns, had the two picks. So you talk about turnovers and points. It's really going to come down to, can he be clean?
Right.
Can he keep the ball out of the defensive back's hands from Clemson? I think this is a big day for Ryan Finley. Yeah. I think he's going to show very well.
And much to your point, I thought you were going to go. He had the record last year at one point in the season.
Oh, consecutive passes?
Consecutive passes without an interception.
Yeah. I think a lot of folks don't realize, too, he did not begin his career at NC State.
No, Boise.
I think he began his career at Boise State.
Wow.
And it's kind of interesting because now they have a four-year starter in Brett Rypien. Finley left because he was looking for more playing time. He winds up at NC State, and he's going to use that as a catapult to the NFL.
That's what I can say. When you do that and you leave, you're always trying to prove that you belong.
Yep.
And I think that's going to lead him in the right direction.
I like the transfer rule in college football. To me, it's sort
phenomenal.
Of like free agency. It gives a lot of mobility, a lot of flexibility to college. I mean, any thoughts on that?
Definitely. When I played, we wish we had this opportunity because back then, you could, if you transferred, you had to sit out a year.
Yep.
And now you have the opportunity. I think it's the how many games?
Four games. Right?
Yep.
This would have been big.
Graduates can transfer if you graduate. That's an incentive for graduating and getting your degree. You can graduate immediately.
I think that's important.
Transfer immediately.
Yeah. Well, say, I'm curious to see mindsets. I meaning teams, if they come out flat, teams, especially in like the revenge spot, like that LSU game.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how LSU comes out because they came out fired up against Georgia last week.
Make tough no to mistake, do 2 weeks in a row.
You know, and I thought there was a possibility. I was dead wrong in breaking down that game. The way they came out and the way they took it to Georgia at home, I'm curious to see with this Mississippi State team because, you know, Mississippi State's a blue-collar team. They're going to come in thinking, hey,
when
we got them
talent,
around.
They have elite talent.
Simmons and Sweat,
talent.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes, Jeffrey Simmons on the interior, Montez Sweat on the outside.
Right.
Those are two kids that, you know, I talk about the NFL just to kind of give the perspective in terms of what the talent potential is.
Right.
Those are two kids that could be first-round draft choices. Those are not just draft choices. Those are potentially elite players. So Mississippi State has those kids. They have the moxie. But I also worry a little bit about Joe Moorhead.
Yeah.
This is
environment for him.
Tough environment.
This is the SEC now.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing when you're at home facing Dan Mullen with Florida.
Right.
It's another thing when you're in Baton Rouge, in Death Valley at 7 o'clock
at night. For a first-year coach
first
year in the SEC.
This isn't Happy
a big
Valley,
deal.
And that's not to take away from Penn State. But we understand the culture of the SEC playing in environments where it's just an unbelievable electric atmosphere.
Not only inside the stadium, but driving up to the stadium when you see a crowd and you know they're giving you the finger
factor.
And all kind of things like that. That sends a message to the players.
We got a question about Wake Forest and Florida State.
Yeah,
again,
we haven't covered that. Well, what does it say about Florida State that we're deep in hour three and I've not even brought
quickly,
up Florida State?
It's homecoming. Charlie Ward will be honored. I'll go with one.
Charlie Ward, what a stud, huh?
If Florida State doesn't win this game.
Point guard, quarterback.
Again, they're giving up 101 rushing yards per game. Wake Forest, I like them. I don't love them. I think the physicality, especially at home, Willie Taggart needs to find a way not only to win, but cover this
number.
Yeah,
the boosters are
He needs to start building second half momentum.
Florida State are bust in this game. I can't
think
Wake
Florida. Florida State, to me, and there are a lot of teams like this, 2019 has sort of begun already.
Yeah.
You know, you're not winning an ACC championship.
Well, what is their offense? That's the problem. What is the offense?
And it's a shame,
we're
too.
We're talking about a Wake team that lost 66-3 last week. It's not going to be a good look if FSU don't smoke them.
Yep. And listen, Florida State struggled, had to come back against Louisville. Louisville's a team that lost to Georgia Tech. What was the final score? Do you remember?
Florida State, Georgia.
Georgia Tech, Louisville. Georgia Tech laid
66-31.
And Florida State struggled with that same Louisville team. Yeah. So that's a tough game.
Last year at Wake, Florida State was on the ropes. James Blackman pulled that game.
Wake Forest has given problems to Florida State over the years.
Yes.
Scrappy, especially when it's down in Winston-Salem. Yeah. They've
Two
given
years
some problems.
Ago with Dalvin Cook, they did not cover. I mean, Florida State didn't cover that number. I think they lost that matchup 21-7, 21-10.
This is a big
Wolford
second half of the season
plays.
For a lot of coaches. Not for hot seat per se.
No.
But you got to start to build a bit of a head of steam. You got to get a tailwind heading into 2019. Florida State is one of those teams.
Yeah, Iowa up 6-0. Maryland 3rd-1.
You got to get touchdowns, Iowa. Come on, no field goals.
Cincinnati, good job, Terps. But they're driving. on the 40-yard line now. Cincinnati against Temple.
Something to say about confidence, man.
And that's the thing, too. We brought it up last week. It's like, you know you're going to get Temple's best shot. It's almost like a prize fight. If you could weather the first quarter and say, okay, you know, we're down 10-0. Now, all of a sudden, we find our resolve. Then you start getting back into your game plan.
I really don't think this is going to be a close game. I know they was down 10-0, and it's 10-7 now. I have a chance to go on the score right now. But you know, like Bill Parcells always said, you all who your records say you are. And people tend to believe that. And teams that are 0-5, 0-6, well, they're 3-3, what the record is, it sometimes slips into their mind that they're supposed to lose this game. And the other team looks like the team that we thought they were before they came in here.
Interesting. We always worry about the psyche because they are. We're not talking about NFL players. We're talking about 18 and 19-year-old kids.
Well, in this day and age of social media, too, it's impossible to live in a bubble.
Right.
Even if you try to stay off of Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Somebody could drag you into it.
Say it again?
Coaches are on Twitter.
Have to be. They need to be.
For recruiting, they have to be. Lane Kiffin.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Lane Kiffin. What about Florida Atlantic Marshall? Lane has been a disappointment.
I know. Lane 3 points. Here's the thing.
I'm terrible on the road this year.
Yeah. Great point. I just think the speed of Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I look at that matchup with Marshall, the way NC State matched up against them. Now, granted, the NC State forced turnovers on the road there, and they were able to score. But I still think they have the speed to challenge that secondary over the top, and I think they scored points here.
Give me one game you would bet your children's college fund on today.
I like Virginia.
Okay.
Virginia's one of mine. And
Gabe, the children that are out there, the Morenci offspring that are out there?
NC State plus 17.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
I'll give you another one I like outside of this. I like Indiana. I think Indiana is, with the 14.5. Those are my two dogs.
I worry about Penn count? State's motivation.
Yeah.
Does
Northwestern count? I know it's 20 points, but.
Yeah.
It all counts, Sam, as long as it covers. Yeah. Sam's saying, you put the money. It's like two for the money.
I like Virginia. I bought into them at the start of the year. I think they're going to be catching points the rest. They were 300-1 at the start of the year. And even though they win, Vegas is still going to make them a dog because, again,
it's all perception.
It's perception.
Yeah.
You get beat like a drum week after week. Where does that confidence come from?
It's gone.
Let me ask you this.
First drive is gone.
Yeah.
Illinois, we bring up Lovie Smith making the transition from the NFL to college. Some coaches get it, like Pete Carroll. Others don't. What's the reason for that?
You got to get talent. Listen, you just can't go in there and say, I'm a great head coach. I'm going to come into – I'm not saying this is what he was saying, but you can't go into an organization and say, I'm a great head coach, and whatever talent you have, I'm going to make it better. It just doesn't work like that in college because talent is key. Great coaches have great talent.
Yeah, it's intriguing. Any game you're looking at outside the ones we spoke?
In terms of what I like?
Just looking at headlines or anything
from Monday? Well, I mean, Gabe's on Arizona. We didn't really talk about it in any great depth. That point spread has really just ballooned. I mean, I think at the beginning of the week, that might have been – like a pick 'em at the beginning of the week, and then
up
gradually
to 10 right now.
Yeah,
ten
is a lot.
Ten
is a lot. What I want to see though is can UCLA put together a third straight good game? Because last week they didn't just beat Cal; they won by 30.
37-6.
2 weeks ago they lost by a touchdown to Washington, considered to be They're improving. Can they continue to move in that direction? Can DTR behind center continue? Last two games, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 30 of 53.
Yeah.
He's gradually becoming a more effective passing quarterback.
Here's one thing for headlines. If Washington State wins against
Oregon. You just read my mind. I was going to say headline, Oregon Ducks are back.
Okay. No, on the flip side.
Or the headline Monday, can we take Oregon seriously as a playoff contender if they run the table to one loss?
Well, on the flip side, if Washington State wins and somehow finds itself with one loss and that being a 3-point loss to USC.
Playoff?
Well, everybody was talking Oregon if they run the table, losing to Stanford. Do we make Washington State a possible?
Going to need help.
Okay.
Going to need help.
Are you thinking about UCLA, how they're heading in the right direction? That's a big difference between them and Nebraska. Yeah. I know Nebraska got a lot to do, but UCLA look like they're heading in the right direction right now.
We're just getting started. Stay with us next Saturday. We'll be here at 10 o'clock for Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Sam Garns. Have a great weekend, everyone.